Welcome to Reality NSFW coverage of the Challenge USA episode 4. I'm Johnny Fairplay. I am joined by Alex Trias, Dan Monchel. Whew, we're here. I see Sam in the chat. When's it start? It's starting now, motherfucker. Get ready. So this, I promise, starts better than the Challenge USA episode 4. I will say this, guys. I'm about 45 seconds into this episode, and I'm just like, could I hate a show anymore? By the end of the episode, loved it. Loved it. Favorite episode of this season, no contest. God bless you, Paramount Plus, for the profanity and the lack of commercials.
So I did watch it last night just to see the difference in viewing experience between watching it with the commercials versus today watching it without.
Yes.
Yeah. We are making the right call, folks. Yes. We are making the right call. Like, a storm is coming, and like, you know. I'm just ready. I'm ready for this.
Oh, did you two have cumsies on your blanket? Is that? I thought that's what it meant. I thought it meant he had cumsies on his blanket.
Well, maybe he did. You know, they aren't showing us any hookups on this season.
Yeah,
you know, that's what MTV's for and Paramount Plus.
No, when I see someone with a blanket and I hear the word coming, I just base my assumption to be correct that they have cumsies on their blanket and that they're embarrassed and or showing off.
You know what? I think that's an accurate thing to just think about, you know, just like,
you're welcome.
Yeah. Now, whenever I go to a friend's house and they bring that up, I'm gonna be like, you know what? I'm good. I don't need it.
I don't want your blanket.
I know.
It's all yours.
Yeah. My maid was here for about 8 hours today. Oh my God. There is no cumsies on any blankets. There's no cumsies anywhere. I'm going to re-cumsie it up. I assure you. There was a photo shoot on those pinball tables and holy moly, Stern would roll over in his grave if there was a guy named Stern. Hopefully my co-investors are not watching this podcast.
It'll be fine.
Actually, I think they'll just like to see the footage. They'll be more than okay.
I was going to say, I think anything, they'd be more of a fan of it.
Yeah, just go to jessicareality.com. You can check it out for yourself.
You know what? I ruined that. I just said they could have been your only fans of it, but...
There you go. So close. Hey, real quick before we get into this, did you guys watch Snake in the Grass?
I did not.
I did.
Yeah.
Do I need to watch it or no?
I think it's worth watching one episode, perhaps two, or you know, three. I like Trish. Trish is on with, it's just, she's the only survivor. Mm-hmm. And then it's like three nobodies. And then there's one with the reality women. And then there's the one that the sneak peek aired Tuesday night on NBC. And it's not a good show. It doesn't flow well, right? Well,
no, it doesn't. It's really choppy, and there's not a whole lot of, well, how did we get here?
Yeah, there is no how did we get here at all.
Well, don't worry, guys, because if you think that one's crap, there's a second show that's pretty much the same with pretty much the same people also airing later this year. It's another version of Snake in the Grass. I forget what it's called, but... like all the episode that has like Sari, Janelle.
Oh, the same people.
Yeah, and it's like literally all the same people.
Yeah, with in the some castle. In the castle in England or whatever.
Yeah.
See, I thought that was not real and that it was this. I was just like, oh man, like
maybe
I thought it was supposed to be
maybe
in a castle, but apparently it's just in Costa Rica. But no, there's two shows with the same shit fucking premise.
Yeah.
And So Fat Malcolm. Got drunk and was still drunk the next morning, hungover, barely able to film, but spoiler, they had to use him. They didn't have a choice.
And apparently it was all part of his strategy.
Oh, was it?
Well, that's what the headline said.
I saw a little bit of it. Who knows if it was or not. Apparently what he did is how he got it was he paid housekeeping, like, an extra $20 to go get him a bottle of rum.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. So, but Fat Malcolm, congratulations.
Good for you. I will watch it, but only more so because Yul and Earl are on it.
Yeah. I feel like if you watch it between now and next week, I could potentially do a podcast on it. Potentially. But I might not because, like, it's on Peacock. So I don't have, like, I don't know how long. I'll probably, if I can get something as soon as I get back from Nashville. But for the foreseeable future and for, like, the past, I don't know, month and a half, I have no cable for the first time ever. I've had DirecTV for fucking 25 years. So for the first time ever, no cable. And everything's worked out. And, you know, but I was not aware that Peacock does not stream NBC. I was just like, oh, fuck. So I was just like, all right, I'll just get one of those antennas. I got every channel. I got CBS, Fox, which I don't need CBS because it's Paramount Plus, Fox, ABC, everything, not NBC.
Wow.
I'm like, fuck. So then I woke up yesterday morning and it's just like, hey, airing, streaming for free for the next 5 days, Snake in the Grass. So I have 5 days. So I don't know if I could potentially do a rewatch. I mean, if you guys take notes, I could follow along.
You know what? I can give you that.
So if you guys want to do that, let's do it the beginning of next week. Let's do a Snake in the Grass podcast.
You got it.
I might be able to get one of these assholes on here, but I don't want one of the, like, I feel like the podcast will be much better if I'm just shitting on it for an hour.
I think that's the point.
After watching it, I don't think there's going to be many nice things. Like, I really liked what you did there. It's just
I really like what you did there.
No, I think the more fun thing would be, like, throughout us podcasting about the episode, we would find out which of us is the snake in the grass.
Well, I feel like Jeff, if I'll reach out to Jeff from Naked and Afraid, I think I would enjoy that conversation. So if Yul wasn't such a nice person, I would love to fucking crucify Yul. But if like I've met him and he might be the nicest human being on the planet. And according to People Magazine, one of the sexiest.
I think both of those are probably facts.
Yeah. So, you know, and Earl, like me and Earl go back, like we love to talk shit. So like that'll just be a normal conversation. So that won't be fun. And fuck Fat Malcolm.
I know your feelings about Fat Malcolm.
I cannot stand Fat Malcolm with his cumsy stained shirt. Okay.
But do you think he also uses a cumsy blanket?
Speaking of cumsy's blanket, we're full circle. Previously on the challenge, Xavier says a storm was brewing, put a blanket over his head, and he had a case of the cumsies, obviously. And it's here where we get the previously on. We learn Alyssa was Xavier's pawn when he went on to win Big Brother.
I'm not sure if what we've heard more on the challenge USA, these four episodes. Have we heard more about Alyssa and Xavier being pawns to the cookout in Xavier's game, or have we heard more about Kiki and what Kiki would think or do if Danny were to die on the challenge?
Kiki all day.
Just give Kiki this fucking money, okay?
Give her a show. Give her a show at this
give
point.
Give her a show. Oh my God. As I said, 45 seconds in, I would rather watch Cookie paint her fucking garage than this fucking bull. Well, as I said, the previously on was so, like, just an epic fail compared to the cool stuff that we saw last season on The Real Challenge. Right.
Right. Okay. And also, my issue with this previously on, not just the Xavier thing, but, like, the previously on in general, it was one of those challenge things of, we are being very subtle right now as I punch you in the face of you're going to know at 9 p.m. if you're watching live what's going to be the result at 9:57.
Yeah. 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 Now, so the enacting of the previously on has jumped the shark. But the editing for the previously on is, please stop. I'm begging you. Please stop telling me who's going home.
I feel, you know how like we always like one of the things like we miss is like the previously on Survivor thing for Survivor. We don't need that for the challenge, I feel. But
no,
this is made for casual viewers who are 80 and like, I don't remember half these people's names. That's Shan. I remember not liking her.
There's another statement that they're saying that got God bless. We're not repeating on this.
Yeah, I will not.
Oh, you know,
this is just not the Russell Hantz podcast. We are not.
You know, they didn't have the best, you know, advertising and marketing people for the previously on. You know, they just got Little Caesars pizza guy, and they're like, fucking perfect. We're just going to roll with the simple, shitty one.
Yeah. So Shan is just friend making, not scheming. Remember that, folks. Okay.
And also, so the thing I found very weird was them highlighting specifically her not being good at giving the steps to Derek. Because, like, that doesn't really come through, but like they made a point of re-showing the Derek confession, like she's giving me the wrong pieces, like just completely off. Like, so it makes me think they thought she was confident with the puzzle, but they didn't show that she was actually fucking it up.
Yeah, I guess. So they're, yeah, but revisionist history is great, and I love eventually knowing something. But you know what's better than that? Telling the story correctly the first fucking time. Because there's been so much of this in reality. Like every show that I'm fucking covering, it's just like, I don't know what they're thinking. I mean, I guess we'll find out. And then we get a previously on. It's just like, oh, this is exactly what they meant, because they like we're covering Australian Survivor All Stars, and it's just like, okay, did they really mean to do that? Where's his head's at? Jericho crying, right? And it's just like, Jericho could have potentially been emotional. And then on the previously on, I was like, the Golden Gods saw through Jericho's bullshit. And I'm just like, you didn't explain that to me.
Tell the story.
Yeah, I mean, like, once again, I'm happy that I eventually get this information. And maybe I'm just fucking dumb. And that's a huge possibility. I don't think I am. And, like, if other people are like, man, I spent a week thinking, I don't know. And now I obviously know, because they're like, hey, dumb. But yeah, like, once again, am I dumb, guys?
No, I wouldn't say you're dumb.
Okay.
You had the fastest time for that puzzle.
I did have the fast. I had 13 minutes, 21 seconds for the fucking Michelle Fitzgerald kick it puzzle. So.
I think you have to be smart in order to do that.
I feel like there has to be some modicum of intelligence, right?
Some semblance. Absolutely. There.
Okay, thank you. All right, Desi in a rare confessional. God bless, is she beautiful. She explains to us, I think it's Desi here, that Leo compares himself to a cat in every potential situation. And I'm not saying this guy has balls as big as grapefruits, but I'd feel pretty confident in calling him a pussy in most challenges. does that count?
I you know what? It's, yeah. And I think, you know what? He would take that as a compliment.
Yeah, but I,
because you should. Know what? You just brought up cats. And you know who loves cats? Leo loves cats. He loves everything about cats. He would wear that like a badge of honor.
Yeah, but we've gotten zero of these as a viewer, correct? We just had Desi telling us this.
Well, we had it in the first, either the first or second episode where they mentioned the cat thing, and Enzo, it was one of Enzo's two confessionals in four episodes so far.
Oh, okay.
Of him saying Leo talks too much about cats. Then you have Desi say it, and then you have Sarah say it. So, like, there's something there, but they're just like, he's irrelevant to the season. So they're just
irrelevant.
He likes cats. That you just say the word cats and he doesn't even need Blue Chew.
There you go. Promo code Survivor. not promo code cats. Don't do it.
Not promo code cats.
Please. You might get arrested for that.
Also, yeah, who really looked great in confessionals today were Desi and Azza.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh,
stole
the
show.
Yeah, yeah. So, Shannon, I'm right there too. But yeah, Desi and Azza. Oh, and here, this is what I'm here for. We have David do a confessional, and David explains that he is there to fall in love. Once again, he has no fucking idea why he's on the show he's on.
You know what? It's funny because I this may be inaccurate, but I'm pretty sure when he went on BB21.
Yes.
He originally applied for the first season of Love Island.
Okay.
And they were like, We're not putting you on that.
Yeah.
But we will put you on BB21.
Okay.
So I imagine if he was just put on Love Island, we would have never seen him again.
So is that what we really needed to happen?
I mean, no one would have watched it.
Well, that part's true. So. And shockingly, I find myself at the end of this episode vehemently rooting for David to win.
Oh, absolutely. And also, can we talk about the extreme contrast in episodes where last week we have Dom who's just like, I hate the Love Island girls and everything about them. And then you have David just like, they're trying to get me to fall in love with the Love Island girls.
And I'm here for it. That's the only reason I'm here. I am not here to win a daily. I am not here to win an elimination. I am not here to run TJ's final. I don't even know what that means.
Who is TJ? I don't know who this TJ is.
What is a TJ? Why? I'm here for all TJs don't give me. Yeah.
I don't know who this guy is. Where is Julie Chen?
Yes. He is down for some TJs. It's no, that's BJ. Oh, what's a TJ?
Yeah, and also, can we please get that vernacular back? Because I'm tired of hearing them call the dailies challenges.
Oh, yeah.
You have not won two challenges. You have won two dailies.
Oh, well, according to fucking David, that everyone there should be in the Challenge Hall of Fame because they're the greatest.
Yeah, Justine is better than 20-year veterans.
Yes.
Okay.
Car Maria who?
Laurel, Evelyn.
Well, look, my confession I told Alex ahead of time was last week the two of you were talking about David and I didn't say anything, but my entire thought was, who the fuck's David? Because I don't know who that is. And then when he showed up last night, I was like, oh shit, that dude. I thought he was just a Love Island random person. Like,
no, that's David from fucking Big Brother, who was fucking wasted two spots of Big Brother and apparently the third spot on the Challenge USA. Although I will give credit where credit's due when it comes to the end of the episode.
Yeah, he walks on that treadmill with a giant weight on his shoulders.
He does.
He does do that. I've never seen anyone do that.
Because you're not supposed to.
I know.
All right.
Okay, but yeah, other teams that are made.
So we have the algorithm.
The perfect algorithm.
The perfect algorithm to figure out what's going on here. So yeah, so Kayla hit the Tyson jackpot, but as we learn later, Tyson hit the Kayla jackpot.
She has a wisdom on her face.
I am very proud of Tyson not calling Kayla a nerd here.
He was doing everything in his power to not just call her like a fucking dork.
Yes. God bless Tyson. He's winning me over. Like this was my favorite Tyson episode. And for the record, I liked Tyson. That Us Weekly interview just left a really, really bad taste in my mouth.
And I feel like the farther we're removed from that, the better we are with it. Because
it's not like I read an interview two times. So yeah, ask you me want in two me more weeks. I'm like, so what interview? I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, and his jokes just weren't hitting the first episode.
No,
so when you combine the two, it was just like, this isn't working. But it seems like he's gotten more in his groove again, where it's just like,
Now, the first episode, I thought he was getting a villain edit, and I think he's the fucking hero of this thing, right?
I mean, like, I still think he's a villain, but, like, you can have villains against villains. You can have heels face other heels. You're not supposed to, but...
I don't think he's getting a bad guy edit. I think he's getting...
He's getting, like, face of the show edit. Yeah. But, like, that's the same thing Johnny Bananas gets. That's the same thing that Wes gets, and they're villains. They're never seen as the hero of the show, but they make it known that you are the face of it.
Okay, I can live with that.
And who doesn't like to root for a good villain?
Oh yeah, I'm all for. As I said, I episode one, I don't think he was a good villain. So that bad arrogance that was reeking from the Us Weekly interview was that's what I felt his first day. I thought he didn't want to fucking be there.
I think it was like one of those things, like I said, I think it previously was, I think he thought he was above it all.
Yeah.
And then like once he got to talk with people and also seeing that he was like, okay, I can definitely like ace a lot of these challenges anyway. So like, I'm just going to be here and have fun. And now I'm going to make now. And then I feel like a spark got in his head, like, you know, if I do well here, be a good character, you know, do what they want me to do, be Tyson, paydays for day or for years.
Yeah. And why not? Like, if you're fucking there, why not have fun with it? Like, if you're going there to not have fun, don't fucking go.
Yeah. And I do enjoy the subtle back and forth between him and Wes on social media.
Oh, I
he's well, Tyson just put out a tweet or whatever that just being like, you know, if it's not physical, that he could beat, you know,
80% of like challengers,
80% of the challengers. And Wes didn't respond to it. But what he did is he changed his bio on Twitter. I don't know if it's still there or not, but it was like number one pickleball player on reality TV or something like that.
Number one what?
Pickleball player. That's Tyson's big thing.
Yeah. I love that. The other thing that was hilarious was there was a former challenger who has only competed one time and quit in the final because he wouldn't drink something that was nasty and said that he could beat Tyson's ass and literally just got ratioed and dunked on for days after.
The bad Jay from the challenge.
The bad Jay, not Jay Sari.
All right.
Okay, well, let's back to the teams.
Fair enough. Okay, so we learn here that Derek watched Survivor.
Yes.
I'm not a Derek fan. Is that okay?
That's fine. That's fine. Like, I think I personally liked Derek on his Big Brother season.
Okay.
I wasn't sure how he would make out in a challenge format.
Does he make out?
Well, with his girlfriend.
Okay, does he?
Who also is the reason why he watched any of the Survivor, because she's a huge Survivor fan.
Okay. All right. So he likes to make out. He seems like he wouldn't make out.
I don't know. We'll see. Okay. I don't dig into his personal life.
I don't care. So like that.
Yeah.
In case you're wondering, I don't care. I understand the archetype of the character. I mean, like I hate this character every time I see it in reality TV. I hated it, and you know, when I watched rom-coms and you know, coming of age movies and all that. Like, I hate that fuck. Like, what's his name? Like, Ducky on fucking Pretty in Pink. So I just hate this fucking. Like, I wanted to be the bully that fucking punched Ducky in the face. Like, that's who I wanted to be. I wanted to be the Jake that you know gets Molly Ringwald at the end, and you know, and takes her panties from Farmer Ted, even though my nickname in high school was Farmer Ted. But nonetheless, I don't like that character.
And that's completely fair. You probably are in camp of a lot of people that are just upset with him for making a dumb move, even though he didn't want the move to happen today. So,
yeah. So, oh, I'm sure there's so many people upset with that. So I did. Thanks for. Well, he did everything he could to fuck this up. That's why I really hate him right now. I'm just like, shut the fuck up. It's not your fucking call, dude. So,
anyway. Yeah, we'll get into it.
So Xavier explains that he has moved past his season's drama. Yeah, I would too if I also won, motherfucker.
Yeah, I wrote down in my notes like I too would move on if I had $750,000 in my wallet.
Yeah. It's really easy to move on if you fucking won and everyone else
lost.
He's
like, oh, I had to lie and manipulate everyone. Like, I did the season with all of them. I moved past it, so they should move past it, too. I'm like, Xavier, buddy. I like you, man. I like you. I respect you.
He's really nice in real life.
I bet.
He is. He's really nice. He's very smooth. But I mean, if you got smoothed out of a fucking $1 million, you'd be like, go fuck your smooth. So I ain't get fucked out of nothing by Xavier. So I'm just like, Xavier, you're all right with me. But I love people fucking saying they hate you and you not taking it well. I think that's good TV.
Oh, yeah. I told Dan like off camera, if we got the Xavier we got in the last 5 minutes of tonight's episode, like constantly. That's a character I want to see often. Just a pissed off Xavier. Just like being petty as shit in his confessionals. Like
that was not a good look.
I loved it. And,
oh yeah, I'm for it.
And
please.
I'm also fine with it, knowing that like they're all fine off the show.
Yeah,
like they're all friends. It's whatever. But like on the show, I'm like, I love you. Just like calling them out. Like, This is why you guys don't win shit. Like, I'm still rich. Y'all broke. Fuck off.
Oh, that's so great. Whew. All right. So it's time for the daily learn the fucking verbiage. Hey, guess what? If you're asked for the Challenge USA Season 2, number one, prepare for shit fucking music in the background. Number two, learn the fucking verbiage of what you're fucking doing. Thank you. So before anything happens, TJ just starts fucking laughing.
I love his giggle.
Well, I had forgotten that it was trivia. And so I see TJ just fucking laugh, like unprovoked. Like he's just looking. He's like, you poor dumb bastards. As semi-kind as I've been to you, I really don't give a fuck about any of you. And the only person I would remotely talk to outside of this is Tyson. So then he just fucking just starts laughing. I'm just like, oh shit, trivia.
I also love that he calls out the writers. He's like, they made me say this.
Oh,
say this.
Yeah, they made me say
this. Falling off the knowledge or the no ledge. I didn't write that, guys. I'm too cool for this shit.
Yeah.
So, BMX legend. That's what it's going to keep saying under my name.
BMX legend. Not a person that comes up with their own lines as they host the show. All right. Oh. So falling off the knowledge. Explain this one, Alex.
It's trivia. You're 250 feet up in the air. It's round robin questions. You get it wrong. He clicks the button. You fall 150 feet down.
Okay.
Through a trapdoor.
I love it. All right, so immediately we get Cinco going, ain't this some shit?
Oh, and we also get Enzo, who's only confessional.
Oh, yeah.
Dude's going to be a dodo for this season. I'm sorry, Enzo. But it's like, we're going to have some doo-doo pies today. There's definitely going to be some doo-doo pies. Did I mention there's going to definitely be some doo-doo pies?
Ooh. I did not. Like, I went to New York 2 weeks ago. I didn't see Enzo. And I was a little sad at the time. Not after that confessional.
Like, we literally only hear him talk twice this episode. It's that, and during the first round where he goes, he's trying to, like, come off friendly to someone. It's just like, I'm so glad we didn't have to go first. So glad we didn't have to go first, bro. Like, I'm like...
And no one's paying attention.
Literally, no one looks over to him.
Yes, it's not as good as David later with the high five. But we'll get there. So... It's at this point we learn another Kiki fun fact.
Yeah. If I were to die, Kiki, you can buy all the shoes and purses you want.
Yes, you get everything. You deserve it. I love you.
You deserve it.
You deserve it.
You don't deserve it while I'm living.
No.
Once I die, you can. No. Oh. It's like, so the first round we had Danny and Kira, Cinco and Shannon. Shannon's pissed off because she's like, literally the only round where you give me the biggest dude here and it's trivia.
Yeah.
You couldn't make it, like, pick up a tree stump and run a mile.
Yeah. All right. So I have a question. You watched last night and not, Dan, you watched the Paramount Plus like a good boy, right?
I did.
Okay. I did both.
Oh, you did both?
Yeah.
Okay. So could you make out all the profanity, or did they like CBS overdub it to, you know, to kind of protect the old white people that have left their phone, that left their TV on since Andy Griffith, the news, Wheel of Fortune, Jeopardy?
I'll be honest, maybe it's just because it's the fact it's the CBS version of the show. Even listening to it on Paramount Plus, I really didn't even register the curse words or the profanity.
There was
except a couple times where I heard Cinco saying like, oh shit.
Yeah, like, there's shit. Like,
I think you just heard them like, oh, instead of like, or like, oh man, or something. I don't know. It didn't register to me while I was watching, but I was only half paying attention because I knew I was going to watch it on Paramount Plus the next day.
Okay. Well, it really registered with me. I'm just like, there's so much profanity. I'm here for all of it. Like, yeah. I am a fucking 12-year-old.
But hey, they all did better than Darrell.
Yes. They all did, shockingly, right?
Yeah.
That is insane. I mean, like, none of these could hold fucking Darrell's dick in a fucking real challenge. And every single person outshined Darrell on fucking trivia.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
Wow.
Yes. And then, okay, so this round was Danny
Kira. So I have a chance in this, right?
Yeah.
Okay, absolutely. So like we do
trivia. Tell us your trivia name. The trivia name.
A t-shirt available at johnnyfairplay.com. And remember, every time you order a shirt from johnnyfairplay.com, you get a phone call from me, Johnny Fairplay. Unless it goes to my spam, that your proof of purchase goes to my spam that I don't know, and just send me a message on all my social media. Everything's Johnny Fairplay, no H. So go to johnnyfairplay.com, get your shirt, my trivia team name, and feel free to use it wherever you live because it's a great one. Quiztina Aguilera.
I remember you telling me the first time. I thought that was a very good name.
Yes. Yeah, that's really solid.
I think they should have made all the pairs make a trivia name for them.
Oh yeah, I would. Well, I would have named mine. So and I'll give you guys a freebie because this is some of our one of our competing teams at where I live. Trivia Newton John. Pretty good.
That's good,
Not as good as Quiz.
No.
Come on.
Geez. No. So, like, but you know, it's a good silver medal.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
So, you can't. Oh, you make the podium. That's all you care about.
Yeah. Dan, what are you doing? What are you doing Monday?
Monday?
Yeah. You want to do trivia?
Possibly.
All right.
Why not? Well, we might be recording Snake in the Grass.
Oh yeah.
But yeah. So back to this. So we have Danny, Kira, Cinco, and Shannon.
Can we do our first ever watch along, and I can just shit on it while we.
I mean, I'm down for whatever.
I don't know if I have the technology. Someone will figure it out.
Yeah, we have X and Xavier and Shan, and then we have Dom and Angela. Also, bad for Dom that this is the challenge that he gets Angela for.
Oh, what? It's bad for Angela, which Dom vehemently explains to her. A shark is not an animal.
It's a fish. What's a fish, Dom? What's a fucking fish?
I understand. For those of you that are confused by what's going on in Dom's head, I'm sure this panel figured it out. A shark is not a mammal, and we had a bunch of mammals listed previously.
That's the first thing I was thinking of is him like confusing animal with mammal.
Yes.
And I'm like, bro.
Yes,
bro. But Angela just deadpan. Looking at like
she's like, what the fuck?
A fish
she's
is like, an animal. No.
A stupid person from New York or New Jersey, whichever. They're the fucking same. It doesn't matter. Shots fired, New York, New Jersey. I will tell you at Bolero Snort Brewery when you come to go see my live Survivor viewing party this fall.
You know, he's just still stuck on plugging holes, you know? He can't get into what fish are.
And if you want to plug your holes, Blue Chew. I'm not going to do a full run on that.
BlueChew.com promo code survivor. So Dom, we get your heart was in the right place, but God bless
but
you.
But right. It's also that New York, New Jersey stubbornness. Once you like, you realize you're wrong. Nope. I'm right.
I fucking know. I fucking know this because I'm fucking stupid. Yeah.
Okay, well,
that was pretty good.
That was very good.
I feel like I just did an impression of every single person from New York / New Jersey.
I think you did.
Yeah, come at me. My Twitter's at ATRIAS95.
No,
come at me, dog.
It's not. Just remember, if you guys have any complaints for Johnny, it's Johnny Fairplay with an H.
Oh, yeah. What the fuck is that? And feel free to send me your dick pics at Matt Bischoff on Twitter and at the Matt Bischoff on Instagram. Let me see those super hard dicks after you take your Blue Chew from BlueChew.com. Promo code Survivor. All right.
Okay. So Danny and Kira say Brazil for Spanish speaking countries. It's Portuguese. They're going to the losers round.
Yes. So we have a loser round. Next is a Catwoman question. Leo is excited because,
the word cat was put up there.
Yes. And he got airtime. I feel that that's where the real excitement.
And I'm pretty sure that was the instant where Desi was thinking, if we were on separate cables right now, I'm probably pushing him off the ledge.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Like I literally would just be like, "Oh, it's windy up there. It's windy. It's
very windy."
So
I have a question on the Batwoman question or Catwoman question.
Yeah.
Would you guys have done like
I knew the I knew Michelle Pfeiffer. I knew Anne Hathaway. And there's
Halle Berry was my first thought.
Yeah, Halle Berry. And then there's the one from the recent one that I always forget her name, but I know she's the daughter of
See, I have right behind me is a Batman pinball table, and like Eartha Kitt was Catwoman back then. I know that.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember Michelle Pfeiffer, but I hate DC so DC movies so much that I feel like I've blocked all, like, either I didn't watch it purposely or I blocked it out of my head and I have no fucking idea that those people, like, I remember, like, after hearing Anne Hathaway, I'm like, maybe I saw that. I don't think I did. And Halle Berry, I'm just like, I think I saw that. But the only one I remember is Michelle Pfeiffer that I could have gotten on trivia. Yeah. Otherwise, nothing.
No, it was going to be a quick round regardless. But yeah. I also just found it amusing where, like, we first get a confessional from Derek, like, I don't watch this shit. Like, come on. Kylan's the one who can list all this shit. He watches movies all the time. He's like, I don't watch superhero movies. And then we cut to Sarah, just like, you're supposed to know this stuff. Get away from me.
Yeah, that's the only thing you're there for, right? Like, the only time you want Derek as your partner is for TJ's trivia.
I wouldn't say that. Like, he wasn't known for, like, his brains for in Big Brother.
So he's a nerd without brains?
I'd say he's average. Just, like, he was good at some of the, like, the physical, like, Big Brother comps was what he was winning.
Well,
he
wasn't, Big Brother, a physical Big Brother comp is a five-piece puzzle.
Well, I get that.
Okay.
I get that.
Just reminding people.
But also, like, you're either going to be good at trivia or you're not. Like, there's no skill level other than you just knowing stuff.
Yeah.
Well, it was funny.
I feel like I would have done pretty okay with everything except for the Catwoman thing. I'm just like, ugh.
Like, yeah, most of the other ones, I feel like I would find something that I could get past and knowing someone else was. Because really, the people weren't challenge dumb for this comp.
No.
Like, they go on the actual challenge, they're winning it.
Anyone here is a winner. Yeah. Just like, you know, what's Britney Spears' first name? And they're like, most challenges are like, ooh. Paris? Yes. Britney Spears' first name is Paris Hilton.
Yeah. God bless them.
But yeah, so they drop. We then get the 10 heaviest animals. Yes. They Cinco and Shannon picked the wrong type of shark.
Yes.
And
I know. So if they had just said shark, do you think they'd still be in? Or do you think...
I think they would have done something similar with, like, the hockey question where TJ would ask, like, a specific... I would never have said the plankton-eating shark.
Yeah, never.
Yeah.
I don't even think that's a kind of fucking shark.
I think they just told him to say something.
I think if they had just said shark and TJ liked them...
Potential.
They got a 60% chance of TJ going, I don't give a fuck, let him go.
I feel like he would like that team, but I think he also would enjoy more seeing Cinco shit his pants.
Oh, yeah.
100%. Because Cinco sees Danny go, and he's just like, oh, shit.
Yeah, so he's just like, nah, I'm going to need you to spell it.
Also, like, sidetrack here, because why not? This is a podcast. We can do more than just give play-by-play.
Oh, really?
God forbid, right? But I was telling Dan, I was like, through four episodes, I've been, like, thinking through, if we were to throw some of these people, and, like, this was supposed to be a feeder system to push them to MTV.
Sure.
Honestly, after four episodes, my top candidates to go over are the Love Island girls.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, not just because they would hook up, but, like, they're bringing it in confessional, they're funny during the dailies, like, and some of them are showing out in the eliminations and the challenges. So it's like, I feel like they bring a lot to what MTV would want.
Yeah, the survivors are the duds.
Yeah. So. What, you don't want Dom going up against Devin?
No.
Has anyone seen Ben lately?
You know what? I do. I would love to see what Devin says to Dom. I would love to see 45 minutes of confessionals from Devin describing Dom.
Like, we see Devin making fun of a jacked Nelson just walking along the road. Imagine what he would be saying about Dom.
Scott, let me tell you about this guy in fucking shorts. Devin's sitting there with his fucking broken cigarette.
Cigarette's still there.
I got a broken, unlit cigarette in my fucking finger to tell you how fucking stupid this guy is when it comes to sharks.
I honestly, we'll get to it during the second round, but like Dom's edit is just like very strange.
They hate him.
It's horrible.
Yeah. But I like Dom the Survivor like character and player, but he almost has the game awareness of David.
Oh yeah.
Which is, I don't like saying that about someone
negative,
who's a friend
of Wendell's.
It's a negative
12. whatever algorithm meter it is.
What
for those
you
of you scoring at home, his awareness is a negative 12.
Because spoiler alert, round two, Tyson and Caleb do not win that round. And Dom goes like, I'm so happy to see Tyson, my biggest competitor, go. Like, well, no shit, Tyson's your biggest competitor. But like, dude, there's levels to this.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people that are your biggest competitor right now.
Yeah, no, he doesn't. So we the most popular sports in the world, boxing is not there. I would have guessed that. When's the last time anyone has watched any like, with the exception of that Tyson Fury fight, which I just bet like a shitload of money on it.
The buy rates are.
No one watched. I mean, like, as I said, I just bet because I had a shitload of money on it. But otherwise, right. I haven't watched boxing in 15 years.
The only boxing match I've watched.
Maybe 25.
Yeah, like the only boxing match I watched live was in college when we got like extreme discounts to go to a bar to watch the McGregor Mayweather match.
Oh, God, that was painful.
Yeah, but you know what?
You know what's good? Have you watched those Trilla fights?
I've heard about them. I haven't
watched them. Oh, my God. Greatest, best pay-per-view I've seen in 5 years.
What's main event?
One of the Pauls.
Jake Paul.
Yeah.
Oh, like there's basically like celebrity fights, essentially.
Well, it's like you got your commentators are Snoop, who is literally smoking weed the entire time. And then Oscar De La Hoya, who is hammered the entire time, who takes hits from Snoop Dogg during the commentary. And then Pete Davidson, who questions the entire time, why am I doing this? This is the worst decision I've ever made as a paid appearance as long as I've been alive. And then in the middle of the show, you have slap fights hosted by Ric Flair. And then at the end, Jake Paul or the other guy have the Fox robot come to the ring with them. And like Snoop is losing his shit. He's like, oh shit, it's a fucking robot. Look, it's a fucking, how they do that? It's a fucking robot. And like, and Pete Davidson's just like, no, it's called a fucking unemployed actor that they fucking paid $20 to wear the fucking suit. He's the guy that got your fucking coffee earlier.
Oh, man. Oh,
so, and man. In between every fight is fucking Black Keys performing, Ice Cube performing, Justin Bieber performing. It's fucking nuts.
You know what? This is a good sales pitch.
Yes. Dude, the pay-per-view started and the Black Keys played three songs in a row to start the pay-per-view. And I'm just like, this is already the best pay-per-view I've seen. This is better than most WCW pay-per-views.
Heading back to this,
not popular.
Yeah, heading back to this. Ben and Azza somehow managed to win their round, despite Ben. You know, he's wholesome, lives on a farm.
Doesn't watch movies. What is the one show that he watches?
Wheel of Fortune.
Yeah, and turns the TV off promptly before Jeopardy starts. Yeah. We established that. Oh, so it's right here after David does the high five to. And nothing.
And Josie's just like, I'm not even looking at you.
Radio silence. So, and then it's time for Danny McRae.
Oh my god, man!
To guess the name of the
hockey team.
And he's just I'm an NFL guy. I don't watch other sports. And it's just like, just name a fucking city. He's like, Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh.
And,
what? Pittsburgh? What? The hockey team.
Penguins?
Yeah. Penguins?
Penguins? I don't know. And Kylan's like, I think he said penguins.
He's like, how did he figure it out?
So, well, he walked us through it. He's just like, he goes, it's Pittsburgh, it's hockey, it's ice. Like, the penguins live on the ice. I don't know. It's,
he's just like,
two peas.
Yeah, I'm very disappointed that he wasn't like, it finally dawned on me because Kiki always would tell me about, remember the hockey teams that have won stuff because they need it.
I wish.
You know what? Whenever we don't get it, we're going to find a way to just put it in there. Oh, Kiki inspired him.
I'll hit him up and have him I don't even care if I have to fucking pay for a fucking cameo. I don't think I have to. I think I can hit up Danny McRae for the, but I will, if we miss a Kiki says, I will get one for our podcast.
Thank God.
But see, I don't think we're going
to
miss
you
one.
All need, that's why everyone needs to listen to this review.
Yeah.
You get the real information.
Yeah, but I if they fuck up this fucking running gag, fuck them.
Oh yeah, I'll be upset.
Yeah. Okay.
Four episodes in, especially where you barely saw Danny, they made sure to get it in. I think they have.
You know what? I'm also gonna throw Danny onto the MTV version of the challenge just so that we can get more Kiki.
Oh yeah, I'm for that. Yeah.
Okay. So round.
We had the recommendation if they do the challenge Bloodlines, we need Kiki.
Oh, absolutely.
Bloodlines 2.
Absolutely.
Okay. There you go. So, and maybe Kiki will be looking to hook up. We know Danny's not. First confessional. Kiki says she ever did Bloodlines too. She's hooking up with somebody. It ain't gonna be me. All right. So David and Justine sent to elimination because he didn't get a high five in response. And it's time for the championship round, and it's they have to name zodiac signs. And this might be my favorite TJ-ism of the deal. So one of the guesses was Leo, and TJ says that is a person, but yeah. Okay.
He's just like crossing stuff off his page. He's just like, that's a person, but I'll allow it.
He does not want to be here.
And then he gets so annoyed with them for actually knowing all the zodiacs. He's just like, are you guys having fun?
Yeah,
actually knowing shit, like, I sort of want to hit this button.
Yeah.
If one of you guys get it right again, I'm just sending both of you down.
Yeah, don't care. Like, this does not happen on the MTV Challenge version of TJ's Trivia at all. No. I think they are literally up there, like, because you see, like, they're warm and then they're cold and then it's they go through four fucking seasons.
Yeah,
TJ's just like, oh, these guys are fucking nerds. Like, Tyson won't say it, but I will. They're all fucking nerds.
Yeah, he's just like, I literally had plans. Like, you guys are making me late for this.
Yeah, I have missed my dinner.
Dom, please just repeat one of them.
Yeah.
Dom does, and we get Kylan and Alyssa. Yes. Kylan now, I think, leads the pack with 12K in his bank account.
Oh, and looks like a low-budget Wendell.
Does look like a little bit. So we can only imagine if Wendell was able to have been on this season.
Oh, he has 24K.
Yeah, he's won everything.
Yes.
So. All right. There we go. But we have winners.
We'll have Wendell on to discuss this. Yeah, he is joining us this season.
We have them winning. Alyssa's now qualified for the final. And now, before we find out what their bold decision is, because who could guess what it was after the previously on in this episode?
Yes.
I think it's a good time to hear a word from some of our sponsors.
Oh, we can do that. We're all trying to eat better, but healthy breakfast doesn't have to be boring. Magic Spoon has the amazing flavors you love, but without all the bad stuff. And it's amazing as a midnight snack right before bed.
0 grams of sugar, 13 to 14 grams of protein, and only 4 net grams of carbs in each serving. That's only 140 calories per serving.
It's keto-friendly, gluten-free, grain-free, soy-free, and low-carb. And build your own box. Available flavors to build your very own custom bundle are cocoa, fruity, frosted, peanut butter, blueberry, cinnamon, cookies and cream, and my favorite, maple waffle. Now, Magic Spoon recently brought back their two super popular flavors, cookies and cream and maple waffle. Thank goodness. But they're back permanently. And when these flavors were first introduced for a limited time, they sold out extremely quickly. Now, I'm here to let you know you can get them again or try them for the first time. Why? Because they're delicious and indulgent.
Johnny, Magic Spoon has so many great flavors that I really enjoy, and even my kids enjoy them. We have the cocoa, fruity frosted, peanut butter. All these are really great combinations. They enjoy waking up in the morning and getting some Magic Spoon right off to start their day great before they head off to school. I think everybody listening should give Magic Spoon a try, or if you've tried them already, it's time to reorder. Let's get you some more Magic Spoon and get your day started right.
Hey, when I finish a podcast late at night, the first thing I'm thinking is not sleep. It's let me grab a delicious bowl of Magic Spoon before I go to bed.
So go to magicspoon.com/survivor to grab a custom bundle of cereal and try it today. And be sure to use our promo code Survivor at checkout to save $5 off your order. And Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked. Remember to get your next delicious bowl of guilt-free cereal at magicspoon.com/survivor and use the code SURVIVOR to save $5 off. Thank you, Magic Spoon, for sponsoring this podcast.
Thanks for sticking with us through the ad break. Don't forget, for more exclusive Reality NSFW content, visit adfreensfw.com.
This episode of Reality NSFW is sponsored by Blue Chew. Say it with us, Blue Chew. Blue Chew is making waves and bringing more confidence to the bedroom by offering chewable tablets that can help men get stronger and longer lasting erections. That's right, we're giving away super hard dicks.
Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in chewable form and at a fraction of the cost. Blue Chew's tablets help men achieve harder, stronger erections to combat all forms of ED.
Blue Chew is an online prescription service, so no visits to the doctor offices, no awkward conversations, and no waiting in line at the pharmacy. And it ships right to your door in a discreet package. The process is simple. Sign up at BlueChew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription within days. And the best part, it's all done online.
BlueChew's licensed medical providers work with you to find the right ingredient and strength for your prescription. Don't like swallowing pills? No problem here. BlueChew's Sildenafil and Tadalafil tablets are chewable. Blue Chew's tablets are made in the USA, and they prepare and ship direct, so it's cheaper than a pharmacy.
Hey, if you're looking to give that immunity idol to someone, or you don't want to be voted out of a crater, don't worry. Blue Chew's got you covered. So if you could benefit from extra confidence when it's time to perform, visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information.
And we've got a special deal for our listeners. Try Blue Chew free when you use promo code SURVIVOR at checkout. Just pay $5 shipping. That's Blue Chew, BlueChew.com, promo code SURVIVOR to receive your first month free. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring the podcast.
I would say thank you, Blue Chew, but I am finishing up this pod. This is a Thursday evening that we're doing this podcast, and we're going to finish up here. And I'm heading straight to a hotel in Raleigh, North Carolina. I have an early flight to Nashville, like a 6 a.m. flight tomorrow morning in Nashville for SummerSlam weekend. And I'm going to Blue Chew the fuck out of this weekend. So thank you, Blue Chew, for the fucking unlimited super hard dick you're giving me for four days straight.
And make sure you package some Magic Spoon for afterwards.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No carbs. No carbs. Fuck some carbs. Great recovery. I'm going to fuck and then fuck carbs.
Exactly.
Count it. Promo code Survivor. They love it when we do that. Yep. All right. So Xavier says, if you want to come after him, that's fine. He's coming back, and he's coming back after you, Kylan and Alyssa. And it's like, but, all right.
Like, I feel like what we're supposed to take off, that was supposed to be like a very jokingly like, oh, we're just, you know, all of them being friends outside the game. It's just like, I feel like he felt like it was all within bounds that they could like joke around about, because he's like, there's no way that they'd be stupid enough to actually go take out a number that's very important for them at this stage of the game.
Yeah.
Like, we have other, you have other things you need to deal with before you should be dealing with me.
Okay. So I have a question. Now, what the cookout did in Big Brother was a pretty amazing feat. Or in the world of reality television, with the People of Color Alliance that maintained its way, you know, to the final six?
Yeah, they got all. Mm-hmm. They were a six person group that got to final six, first alliance to really do that.
Yeah, so super incredible, and they had to have been a target. And I would imagine that there was people going into the season going, ooh. If you attack this alliance, you know, does that make you racist? You know, is you know, what are your motives for potentially going after the cookout? But no, it's the cookout that goes
going
after
against the cookout. except
with an assist by a cookout pawn, right, who was fucked over by the cookout.
Yes, yeah, the only one who won't do it is Azza. Azza's just like, I'm just here.
I'm just here.
I want to be in the group message. I want to see what's going on. Like,
I want Azza on every episode just to give commentary.
She's great at it.
She is. I mean, I don't think she gets enough FaceTime and or commentary, because
I think there's several. I think there's several of them. Like, I feel like her and Desi in particular are people that should be getting more than what they're getting.
Well, I think they're doing everything they can to work them in where they can, Desi and Azza,
which should be commended on that level. Like, they're not part of the story, but like, we need to find a way to get them in.
Mm-hmm. And I think the problem with Desi and Azza is they see the bullshit drama, and there's not a lot. There's hardly, I mean, like with a 45 minute show versus a 90 minute show, and this show does not need to be 90 minutes, but because there's really nothing going on, but the episode is a third, the fucking daily, and then clues to who's going to be in the eliminator is all the show is. And then whatever little drama there is. And there hasn't really been any drama. So they haven't been in an eliminator. So they're not getting airtime there. And they're smart enough not to be in any fucking drama.
Right. And It's like Azza's getting into a good position where, like, I do think, even though she has like an elimination win under her belt, where I think people would view her as like a weaker player, where that should be something that is against her for how some of these people are deciding to play. But I think she's also a very good personality, a very good person to have around that, like, and maybe she's also benefiting by who she's being attached to at any given point. Like, this time she was with Ben. If you're on Survivor, you know, Ben, no matter what he says, is going to be Survivor strong, loyal to that group. And so no reason to touch Ben. And through that property, you don't touch Azza.
And also being with Ben, I'm sure they're not having a lot of conversations. So I mean, they're not showing Ben and Azza, you know, to, like, hey, like, what's your favorite movie? I don't watch movies. I literally only watch Wheel of Fortune. Yeah. I'm confused a lot, and I turn the TV off immediately afterwards.
Don't you remember from a month ago? You know, Ben's in here. He's ready to slit throats, you know, play the game. He's play the nice guy.
But yeah, that guy's
Everyone can say what they want to say in the premiere episode. We all know who you are, Ben.
You're a good dude.
Yeah, a good dude.
You're a good dude. Sorry, Ben.
You're a good dude. It's not even bad. And then for Desi, it's I think if you're a guy on this show, you're looking at Desi like, yeah, I want her around so that I could potentially be partnered up with her at some point, or even at the end of the game, because she's a strong competitor.
Or propose.
Also, yes. Like, I get it. Option. She's dating someone, but like...
Oh, is she?
I think so, but dating ain't married.
Oh, whoa.
Shoot your shot.
Hey, wow. Someone needs to on this season.
No one. There's no shot shooting on this season.
Or at least not being shown, because they're like, oh, no.
Yeah, no, there's...
Because what happens is people try to hook up, and then Leo comes up talking about cats.
Yes. Well, I mean, obviously.
What's the opposite of a blue chew? Because that's what Leo is.
Oh, wow. He's a Leo. So, yeah, Cinco and Shannon seem like the obvious choice. Shannon's hot. So yeah. Shannon was on... I played the game. I'm nice. I have friends. There's lots of people that play that do this that don't play the game. But Mark Long does a challenge podcast on Spotify, and you know, of course, they were covering the Challenge All Stars 3, but now they're talking the Challenge USA. They Mark had the Shannon on as his last guest. So oh, everybody, nice. Check that out. It's a Spotify. It's audio only. So check that out. Mark Long's challenge podcast. So.
I think she's been a great get for this season. At first, like the first episode, you're just like, I don't know what we're going to get with her. Yeah. She's a good personality. And honestly, the MTV version of the show needs some personality.
Yep.
Like, badly.
Yeah. Yeah, I cast Shannon in a heartbeat for it. But the fact that Mark sought out Shannon to do his podcast, and Mark is a producer on the Challenge All Stars 3 and talks to me. So maybe we can get Shannon where she needs to be and is not on this show.
No. but yeah, so what is a little, I wish there was more of a story for like the backup targets on this season, because it's every episode, it's been very evident it's going to be this specific team, but we just need to throw out that there's a possible second option.
Yeah, but not
even though we really don't hear Kylan or Alyssa ever mention Cinco or Shannon.
No.
Everyone else does. But yeah, like Justine's just like excited. She's like, the Love Island girls are like Team Survivor right now, and they're like, everyone's becoming Team Survivor, and they're just like, we want Big Brother out, and then they're like, are they fucking punking us? They're putting Xavier up there, and Shan, who like is on the bottom of the totem pole for Survivor. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, I like, so Kylan and Alyssa tell Tyson it could be Shan and Xavier, and Tyson asked if they are playing his game for him.
Yeah, he just does that. That special was so good. Like him just doing that like confused look, like, are you trying to help me win? Yeah, like okay.
Yeah. So really, and then Angela, you know, who you would think would
by her also.
Angela, who you would think would be pro Big Brother, but she ain't a part of the cookout. She's just like, yeah, if you guys want to fall on the sword, I'm for it. But you know, just to help you out, because I'm very smart. I talked to Tyson. Angela, you're very smart before you talk to Tyson, but it does it, like. The two of you are very, very smart together. She says, hey, just pick them, but throw the blame on Shan.
Yeah, like, if you're that concerned about Xavier's reaction, yeah. we all know about Shannon or Shan's game. Like, just say that people don't trust her.
Yeah.
And she's that I'm sorry that my friend has to go down there.
Yeah. And then Shan reveals that Kylan is insufferable and Alyssa is a weasel.
Which is where you know that was made after she was eliminated.
Oh, yeah. So,
because, like, I've heard mixed things about Kylan. I've heard, like, he can be very nice, like, very personable to people, but there's times where he can be, like, a little much.
See, I spent a weekend with him, and ridiculously nice.
That's what I think is the more common thing.
Yeah.
But I think he does have like certain parts of his personality where like he can, like we saw it on Big Brother, he could get a little bit over the top and a little much for.
Well, like, I think anyone can get a little too much stuck in a fucking house.
Well. if you want to call it a house. Yeah. Also,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
But
see Paloma.
Right. And Alyssa is just like, you're just mad because she got you. Like,
yeah, she's cute.
She's also someone that, also based off what TJ said in the preseason, like, could be someone that makes that move. Like, the premise of this move, of going after Xavier, even though it's eating your own number, I don't think
it's revenge.
Good. I don't think it's good for either of their, like, long-term games for this season. But I think they also saw it as an opportunity, as, like, a big, like, shocking move for producers to look at them and be like, well, if they were able to do that to one of their big friends, or, like, their best friends in real life, what would they do on the actual show?
But isn't this supposedly, like, so much bigger than the actual show? Or no?
In terms of the amount of people that could potentially watch it, yes. But, like, are we really going to have more than one season of The Challenge USA?
I hope not. Like,
I think this was an experiment.
You know what? You can thank The Challenge USA for me not, like, because I wasn't planning on doing shit this summer. But since I have to cover this, that is, like, I'm just like, well, fuck. If I'm watching TV for this, I might as well watch something that I enjoy. And so I'm watching Survivor South Africa. So you can thank this dog shit fucking vehicle to allow me to cover.
And if you guys want to hear the coverage of Survivor South Africa, it'll be on every Friday morning at 9 a.m. with Karen and Tristan and sometimes Shani. Not this week.
Well, no, I'm going to be on at the very beginning.
Okay, you are going
to be on. So I have a 6 a.m. flight to Nashville, and somehow I arrive at Nashville at 6 a.m. Time travel. Your mind just got blown, didn't it?
Wow.
Yeah. Speaking of getting blown, take a blue chew. I'm jumping on. I'm going to jump on the beginning of the podcast, and I just have some quick thoughts about episodes 5 through 8. I haven't watched episode 8 yet.
I need to watch all 4 episodes. I'm going to be watching them after we get off this.
Yes. So, but yeah. No, there's one.
But if you don't want to get off it, get a blue chew today.
Yes. So, but the. Now, like, I thought this was supposed to be the end-all, be-all, but... All right, so do we know anything about viewership has anyone seen viewership?
I haven't been looking...
It's doing well.
Is it?
Yeah, like, considering it's, you know, the summer or whatever. Yeah, I don't know where it's stacking compared to, but I know it's...
Is it beating Big Brother, or is Big Brother doing better?
I think it's possible that it's probably... Big Brother's still probably... doing better because it's in the better time slot.
Yeah, the 8 p.m. time slot versus the 9 p.m.
But like having that trail into the challenge, I think is probably like a big win for them in terms of the amount of viewers they can get for Challenge USA.
I think I saw through, it was the first 3 that it had a really good opening number. It dipped in episode 2, but it actually came back up in 3.
Okay.
So
here we go. Goodfella 1422 says 2.3 million for the opening episode per deadline. Okay, and 2.3 million is not bad for summer programming.
Not bad for summer programming. It's double what you can really get on the MTV show, but that's also because of the amount of access people have.
Yeah, and the MTV show has multiple replays. Same night, Big Brother did 3.7 million.
Okay, you know what? What would you rather have lead into your show? Big Brother or Ridiculousness?
Oh, well, obviously 8 hours of Ridiculousness would be a much better lead-in, followed by 12 hours of Ridiculousness. And hey, Ridiculousness 2 hour special. Yeah. Oh, that was the premiere was a 9:30 start time. So yeah, so 2.3 million. For a 9:30 start time.
And a 90-minute episode.
Yeah, that's good. So, it's right here where I realize that I really didn't pay attention to this before. It's cold and wet where they fucking filmed. That shit sucks. The MTV challenge is always somewhere nice.
Well, not sometimes. More times than not.
More times than not. We in COVID, like they were in Iceland because of COVID.
Right.
That one sucked.
Well, 38 that's filming now is back in Argentina as well. I don't know if it's. I doubt they'll be staying in the same house or anything like that.
I bet
it would be funny if it was.
And there's people fucking on those bunk beds as opposed to this.
Yeah, cool, they have the cum
boring
blankets.
Shit we're watching right now.
Yeah, they have the cum blankets.
Oh, boom. Well, Xavier's ruined one. Be warned, guys. If you see one blanket that seems a little off, that one's Xavier's. And that's why he was sent fucking packing. All right. So Derek is so it's time for the Eliminator, and
they see it's a puzzle.
Yes. So it is a smash in, puzzle out. We'll get to in a second to what exactly that is, Alex. But Derek sees it's a puzzle and tells Alyssa, "Don't send X. Don't send X." And I immediately type, "Shut up, Derek."
I mean, like, when you talk about, like, obviously, results-oriented, it was the right move for this specific episode. I agree, though, as the game player, like, if I was there and I know some of that backlash could come back on me if they survive, I also would have been like, yeah, just send the Love Island people in there. Just yeah, like,
I don't think there's any backlash on Derek. It wasn't like I think Alyssa and Kylan are getting the brunt of that.
Oh, absolutely.
Derek is worried about Alyssa, and he's a sweetheart for doing that. But at the same time, it's not your fucking call. Shut the fuck up. Give us some good TV instead.
Yeah, Alyssa decided to go
if this episode ends with the fucking Love Island people against dumb David, then I don't get like it's just like, hey, fair play. What do you think about the Challenge USA? It's like, I still hate it. Versus, this is the best episode this season. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. But they do make that call,
yeah.
And Shan's just like besides herself because she spent the whole episode going, "I'm next to Xavier. I'm Xavier's best insurance policy." Which, by the way, literally any other Survivor player would have been his best insurance policy.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Like, are you throwing Xavier down there if he has Desi as a partner?
No.
Sarah as a partner?
Nope.
Like.
Only Shan.
Yeah, like literally only Shan of the Survivor women.
There you
like
go.
Even if Tasha was still here, I'm not throwing Tasha and Xavier down there.
Yeah. Well, I like TJ goes, so who are you guys picking? And Kylan goes, the algorithm has made this difficult. And TJ goes, no, it's perfect.
No, it's
the
perfect.
The algorithm is exactly
and Kylan's just like trying to figure out how to react because he's always like the nice guy or tries to be like the nice guy. Like,
oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. You're right. Yeah. with your perfect algorithm as he rolls his eyes. It's hard decisions need to be made. And Johnny, I do want to know, like, you're just, if you're in Kylan's shoes there,
yeah,
like you see someone that you know, like, I do want to get revenge at some point. Yeah. But you also are someone who's been saying, like, while yes, the algorithm appears to want to make you open up, it should really want you to be strong with your original show even more, at least sure. In the early stages. Like, do you ultimately pull that trigger or do you?
I'm pulling the trigger early.
Okay.
And any revenge that I need, and anyone that I fucking came with my sharpshooter hat on, I'm fucking like, I don't want them there for another fucking second. I don't want them to make one more fucking dollar than I can prevent them from fucking making. If there's someone I fucking hate and someone that needs to fucking be dealt with, I'm shooting early.
But like, they're not, it's not even like they hate Xavier. That's the thing that I think is different. Like,
it's still revenge.
They're all friends. They're all, yeah. But like, wouldn't you want to keep someone around? Well,
it might not be hate, but it's a nut, like, Xavier said some foul shit afterwards, and I'm pretty sure like everything was cool and they squashed everything, but I'm pretty sure they also watched that and they're just like, yeah, fuck you too.
Honestly, I would have texted him if I was in Kylan's spot and I heard that, I'd be like, you know what? That was right. Yeah.
If I'm Kylan, I wrote, I guess I'm a little less broker than you today.
No, like, yeah, like, I feel like
I'm less broke than you were at the end of, when they sent her fucking checks from Bune and Murray.
Absolutely. But I also love Azza's reaction in confessional even more about all, she's like, what? Y'all are like best friends. The tea is hot right
the
now.
The tea is hot.
I'm gonna get back from this show and Xavier would have left the group chat.
He might have.
Azza. Yeah. Thank you.
Azza threw a premiere party in New York. So I hit up Azza when I was in New York. She's like, Boy, I live in D.C. Why are you looking for me? And I'm like, because you were here last week. And she's like, I was there for the premiere.
Right.
Week two ain't the premiere.
Oh, man. She's great.
Aza, you're the best. Keep it up. Keep it up. Give Aza more confessionals. Give Desi more confessionals. And the show is a little bit. And fucking pay for some fucking music. So, they choose Xavier and Shan, and Kylan says, "You still don't know how to win."
Yeah, Xavier's just like Kylan. It's like disappointed dad confessional. Yeah. Of like, Kylan. Do you play to win or do you play to get revenge? Because I only come here to win.
Yep. So there you go. So
he also came here to come on blankets and punch every single window pane that there was.
Yes, he did. Whew. That looked like some anger issues right there. All right, so the eliminator is smash in, puzzle out. What is that, Alex?
Yeah, so there's two sections of metal tunnel blocked off by panes of glass. You and your partner must take turns breaking your specific panes of glass, going through both channels of the tunnel to collect one by one your puzzle pieces. Once you have all of them out, If you broke any of your partner's panes of glass, you have a 10-second penalty per broken glass that wasn't yours.
Is it 5 seconds or 10 seconds?
10.
Okay.
I thought it was five per.
It was ten seconds because he broke five of. I think they each had five panes of glass, and he broke all of them.
Okay, because they were penalized 50 seconds, and the other team was penalized 10 seconds.
Yeah, because I think there was a moment where they both, David and Justine, both broke a pane of glass. But yeah, after that, you then just solve the puzzle, and I love Justine throwing shade at it while they're like setting it up. They're like, she's like, it's probably something generic.
It's the challenge.
I was like, I'm surprised they left that on the edit.
Oh, yeah.
She's like, look for some fucking stars or something.
She right. So it begins. X is punching the fuck out of the glass.
And also, it's like he was definitely breaking more than one pane at a time. Like, I think he literally broke like three.
He broke
at
every
a time.
Pane, every punch.
Yeah. It was insane. Just like how quickly
it was frightening. It was frightening. Like, people were scared, as well they should be. And at this point, I'm just like, I never rooted for David Moore my entire life. And so X and Shan eat a 50-second penalty. David and Justine eat a 10-second penalty. And they're working on the puzzle. And Justine's just thinking about her mom and thinking about home. And I'm just like, Justine, think about the puzzle.
It's okay. Apparently,
the puzzle
David,
is what you should be thinking about right now.
Apparently, David did all the work. So she was fine.
Oh, okay.
But you know what? We shit on David. And I'm sure we will continue the shit on David.
Oh, yeah. Whatever nice thing that we have said, very little, but he did have the self-awareness.
It's like he did have the self-awareness and knowing, like, people do not respect me. Like, I get it. I haven't been doing well ever.
Listen to this podcast.
But
listen to our Big Brother coverage of you on All Stars.
But it was like, I was happy for him to be able to get a win.
I am too. He seems like a nice guy.
Yeah,
I mean,
he seems like a good dude. And it seems like.
He seems like a ridiculously nice guy, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it's always funny.
Ridiculously oblivious this night as well.
Yeah, it was just always funny because, like, after the Big Brother season and the most recent, like, Survivor seasons, when, like, the initial, oh, we can post photos with each other now, like, in the, you always saw David in the pictures. And I was just like, why the fuck is David everywhere here? And it's like, people like him. People like him outside the show. I just wish he brought whatever charisma he has outside the show in the show.
Yeah.
So,
David and Justine win, and Alyssa says she will have five pimples tomorrow. Girl, you still going to be fine. And David says, put some respect on his motherfucking name. And I'm just like, this is why I watch on Paramount Plus and not on CBS. And Xavier explains that he's still rich, the rest of the cookout is broke, and I write that he did not come across as the best winner in the history of reality television.
Well, I don't even think he would say he was the best winner.
Well, no, just this look right here.
Oh, right. No, yeah, it's bitter, it's petty, but you know what? I personally enjoyed it because.
Oh yeah, once again, this is the best episode by far, no contest. The other ones sucked in comparison.
But like, as much as I enjoyed David winning, there was a part of me just for the drama that's desperately needed for the show right now. Part of me wanted to see Xavier and Chan pull it off just to see, like, next episode you immediately have, like, an injection of energy because it's them coming back and be like, y'all done fucked up.
Yeah.
I'm going to mess up all your games.
And watching David cry would have been fun.
Oh, yeah. He would have had, like, the single tear.
Oh, yeah. I mean, because think about it, he made it pretty far last time for no reason.
Yeah. Existing. Yeah. But I'm happy for Justine. Justine really had, like, we were not high on her in episode one. Like, we were like, her story was her friend going home. Yeah. Now she's like slowly gaining her money.
But we weren't high on her, but I think we also acknowledged she got a lot of airtime.
She did.
Yeah. And it wasn't just, you know, she was there airtime, or, you know, it was the 90-minute episode was, we're giving you the people that are getting airtime. We're giving them that airtime because you're going to see them throughout the season. And we need to highlight some players.
Right.
And I think she was purposely highlighted in that premiere because of moments like tonight.
I think she just, like, benefited so much having Tyson be her second partner. I think it, like, just opened her up to the game.
Yeah.
And, like,
I think David and Love Island came to the challenge to find love.
Yeah.
And I think Justine got Tyson round two, and she was like, oh, shit. So
maybe I can actually win some money.
We can win money and run TJ's final. TJ, he's the BMX legend, right? And yeah. That's it. And and then potentially just have a full-time career doing this bullshit on MTV. Yes, man.
Sign me up.
There you go.
You know, like, that's a pretty good pitch to me.
Yeah. Whereas I don't think that any of them went in with any of that. Especially more so David than the Love Island girls.
So I enjoyed this elimination.
Yeah.
Like, there was strategy to it. Literally, if they let Shan hit any of the pains, they could have won, because I think that 30 seconds is huge, especially for a puzzle. But I'm really desperate to see a elimination where it's like a best of three, where it's man versus man, girl versus girl, and then, like, they literally just get to do by random whether the guy or the girl goes again for, like, a pole wrestle or a hall brawl. Like, I need that to happen soon.
Yeah. All right. So this eliminator, I can win this.
Yeah. Who's your partner?
I beat either team. Who do I want on this? Give me Justine. I'm fine.
Yeah, there. You got Justine this round. You got Justine this round.
Okay.
You don't get to have her anymore.
That's fine.
Well, especially because, you know, we got it last week with Dom and then this week with Xavier. It's just like, fuck them rules. So it's just like, hey, you know, you actually do what you're supposed to. It's going to make this a little bit easier.
Yeah. And if
Dom didn't learn the lesson.
No. If it's me and Justine, we're not getting the 10-second penalty.
No.
Mm-mm.
I think it was more of an accidental thing, because, like, you saw, like, they were like,
yeah, I know, but it doesn't. Like, it doesn't. I'm not allowing Justine to make an accident, and I'm not making an accident because I'm perfect.
Yeah, you are not David.
Yes.
But would you then, like, yell, put some respect on my motherfucking name after?
Oh, very much so.
I feel like
it would not be a confessional. That would be the. Like, you would get previously on the challenge and whatever dumb shit, whoever wants to do, because I'm not wasting my time doing it on this. And then you would see the open of the show, me walk it, like, it's just like, you know, us walking into the house from the challenge. Put some respect on my motherfucking name as I walk into the house.
I feel like you also would have been able to pull off the classic West line after you won an elimination, or here won or lost an elimination, but he was in there and he goes one by one across everyone that's lined up at the top going, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you, you're cool, fuck you.
Dude, I came this close to doing that on Fans vs. Favorites. 2008. I almost did that. And I got like, it came down to like, when, you know, I knew the vote. And so I go up there and I'm just like, do I do the fuck you or do I ask for a hug? And I'm just like, I feel like the hug would hurt Probst more. So I went for the hug.
I think you made the right call.
I did. So, but I was this close to fuck you, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you. You're cool. Fuck you.
Who was getting the you're cool?
It didn't matter. I wasn't even gonna.
Definitely not Yao Man.
No. And he was gonna get the first fuck you. And fast forward fucking 2 weeks later or fucking week and a half later, Yao Man's rolling fucking joints for me in fucking Thailand.
You want more stories about that? There's Q&As and...
Join the Q&A. Holy moly. We got some fun stuff coming. So, especially after this weekend, SummerSlam weekend. Whew. Oh my God.
You mean, woo.
So, yeah. I would definitely... You know, I'm gonna put a couple pics and stuff from the photo shoot on the Patreon too. So I would suggest
become a patron, guys.
So August as an August surprise for everybody, become a patron August 1st, and I'm gonna throw on some crazy fucking shit for you guys. And so go to adfreensfw.com. I think you'll be very glad you did.
Try for a month.
If you don't like it, I'll send your money back. No one's been held hostage yet. Awesome. All right. Well, thank you guys. I gotta fucking get my car and go do some bad stuff tonight. Wake up early and get on a plane.
Well, thank you everybody. Until next time, we're out.
And for more.